actually with Emma Sutton. This is the Rome you've never seen before. Remember, Augustus had one weakness. It was his daughter. Well, the Roman Empire has one weakness, and it's Christianity. And we're about to go to a saint who lives between the end of the 2nd century AD and the beginning of the 3rd century AD in Carthage, the destroyed city rebuilt. Her name is Perpetua, and we find her at 23, condemned as a Christian. Emma, at this point, Pliny the Younger is commanding for the Roman Empire, the governor of Carthage. He writes Rome. He writes his emperor saying, "What am I to do?" Why was he was he flummoxed? And how was, at this point, what was the policy of the empire towards young women who said they were Christians?
So, Pliny's letter to Trajan, which was written just slightly before this, about 112, his letter was written, is from Bithynia, and he is baffled because technically it's not illegal to be a Christian, but it is illegal to not worship the gods. And so he doesn't, when people come to him and say these people are Christians, he isn't entirely sure whether to punish them or not. And eventually he decides that if they refuse to worship the Roman gods, then he will have to execute them as heretics, essentially, and as traitors to the Romans, because the worship of the Roman gods is fundamental to their understanding of citizenship and keeping the empire safe. And refusing to keep the empire safe is treason. And so he sets out what becomes the policy, which is that if a Christian insists on saying they're a Christian and won't sacrifice to the emperor or to the polytheistic gods, then they will be executed as traitors. But otherwise, they will be left off.
That's the policy of the 2nd century then. So as Perpetua is born into this, now she's well born, she's educated. Her father is prosperous. And at 23, she's pregnant. She's just about to give birth. There's no mention of her husband. Did you miss that part?
No, there is no mention of her husband in her own diary. She has just had her child when she is arrested. But the only person that she talks about in her diary that she wrote is her father and her son.
She's born probably 180, right at the end of...
Somewhere
around Marcus Aurelius's time. And then Commodus, we know him well, gladiator, a rascal. But the empire is organized so that it can be sustained. Not everything has to be from the center. But the policy has been set out that you need to renounce your Christianity, if only for like an afternoon, right? You can go to church the next Sunday.
You can, although that causes problems later, but technically you can go and renounce it, and then you can go back to church on Sunday or the next day and be okay again. But Perpetua and many other people refused to do this and felt that that would be a betrayal, and they would prefer to die in the name of their faith.
We need to introduce Tertullian just because his name comes up when you know about Perpetua today. Who was he?
Tertullian is a bishop in Carthage who is a writer and a theologian. He writes a lot about developing the theology of Mary in particular, he's very interested in women and how much he intensely dislikes them. And he writes about martyrs in his own time, including Perpetua, and develops a theology that martyrs are the greatest athletes of God. They are gladiators for God.
And Perpetua believes it, and so does her young friend Felicity, who was an enslaved person, and they die together. The 5 members of this small church die in one day to the entertainment of the crowd. However, there's a detail here that Emma works very carefully into the story. The Romans believe, remember, that the honorable way to die is poison, to destroy yourself. That is the end of your life. You can avoid dishonor. The Christians, on the other hand, do not believe in poison. They believe the suffering is the road to heaven. You're fighting the devil, the road to heaven.
Yeah, it is that suffering is redemptive and humiliation because of the crucifixion and the torture of Jesus Christ. They believe that suffering is in an emulation of what Jesus did for humanity. And so suffering and humiliation becomes a pathway to salvation. And the what they experience when they're thrown to the beasts, Perpetua is thrown to a cow, is an emulation and is inherently is holy. Suffering it with bravery is a holy and redemptive activity.
The Romans believed that the torture would intimidate you into doing the right thing, and that only the very brave and honorable manage to poison themselves. Otherwise, you'll be tortured and kicked around and stabbed, and you'll die horribly, so obey us. The Christians, however, regarded that as not a challenge, not a threat, and were ready to suffer it. And Perpetua and Felicity, they don't die because of the cow that attacks them. They have their throats cut. But I mention the Christianity entering in the end of the first, end of the second, beginning of the third, because we'll just have a moment here to mention that the book ends with the Romans acknowledging that Christianity is the dominant spirituality of the empire. That's when this story ends, and the second part of Rome, the one we're living with today, begins again. The book is A Rome of One's Own, The Forgotten Women of the Roman Empire. Emma Southern is the author. Highly recommended. Great fun. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.